Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Genesis chapter number 48 this morning. Genesis chapter number 48. And I want to talk to you a little bit here out of this morning and see what the Lord will give us here in Genesis chapter number 48. And Hebrews chapter number 11. Whenever you study Hebrews chapter number 11, it is the heroes of faith. It's who it's talking about in Hebrews chapter number 11. And as you look through Hebrews chapter number 11, we come to verse number 21 and we find this name Jacob in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 21. Matter of fact, here's what it says there. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, it goes on to say that he blessed Joseph's sons. There in Hebrews chapter number 11, and the faith of Jacob is recognized in Hebrews chapter number 11. And I've been teaching Hebrews chapter number 11 in Bible college, and matter of fact, this coming up Tuesday night, we'll close that semester out, and I'll begin teaching on spiritual leadership next semester. But I've really enjoyed studying these different people in Hebrews chapter number 11. And Jacob is a very, very interesting man when you study Jacob's life here in the Old Testament. Jacob had ups and downs in his spiritual life. There was times that we could say it this way, he was on fire for God, and there was times that he wasn't on fire for God. He had those ups and downs in his life. But at the end of Jacob's life, we find that his faith and his work for God was the strongest at the closing of his life as it was any time in his life. Because the Bible said that by faith when he was dying, it brings us into the last of his life. Whenever I think about him dying and the work of God that he done at his death or as he was dying, also think about a man by the name of Samson. And Samson also had those ups and downs in his life. But the Bible said this, that Samson was more effective in his death than he was any other time in his life. And so I want to look at Jacob here as he comes down to the end of his life. And as I think about that this morning, we sit here today, and as far as I know, I'm in pretty good health. As far as I know, I try to exercise every week, and I try to be healthy. And I got to especially say that with a doctor here this morning. I try to be healthy and things like that. But none of us really know when our life is going to end. The Bible said our life's even a vapor that appears for a little time, then it vanisheth away. And what is your life? And that's what he said. It's just a vapor. Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And there's a lot of times whenever I'm talking to different ones, Brother Aaron, you'll understand what I'm saying here, that he's run a bad call and they've worked that call, but they didn't get that individual back, and they're having trouble with that. A lot of times I'll use that verse that it's appointed unto man once to die, and I'll talk to them that we can do everything that we're trained to do, but at the end of the day, life and death is not in our hands. It's in the hands of God. And God is the one that'll choose whether or not to allow that person to live. Jacob now is at the closing of his life, and Jacob's faith is very powerful at the closing of his life. He comes into chapter number 48 of Genesis, and look with me in verse number 14. We'll read that and then go to verse number 15. The Bible said this, and Israel stretched out his right hand. Now we know that that's Jacob, and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hand rightly for for Manasseh was the firstborn. Verse 15 said this, and he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all of my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And Jacob, whenever he comes down to the closing of his life, makes this pronouncement by faith. He blesses his grandsons by faith. Now, Father, I pray that you help us this morning as we look at this. Father, may we learn from it, get understanding from it. God, may it just not be words this morning, but may He, the Holy Spirit, Father, bed it deep in our hearts. And Father, may we learn from you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As he comes down to the end of his life, he makes these statements. Now, there is a set of books by Hubert Lockyer that is called the All Series. And one of those books is The Last Words of Dying Saints and Sinners. And he deals, it's a thick book, and it talks, every one of it is the last statements of people on their deathbed, the last words that they said. You know, there's a lot of things that is said at somebody's deathbed down through the years. And I was talking to a gentleman yesterday, and whenever I look back, that's been, I guess, about 23, 24, 25 years that I've been involved in volunteer fire service, and then now almost 15 years as a pastor and growing up in a pastor's home. I've stood beside a lot of people when they've took their last breath and heard them say different things. I remember the last thing that my grandpa Barker said. He said to my cousin Dale, he looked at him just right before he died, and he said, do you see that big crowd that's waiting just right over yonder? And a lot of people says, well, I wonder what he, I'll tell you what he was talking about. I believe he saw heaven. I believe that in all of my heart. I believe that he got a glimpse into heaven. He said, man, there's a great big crowd waiting on me. And those last words would just Jacob, we're practically getting some of his last words right here. He's on his deathbed. He's fixing to pass over. And Jacob remembers some things and looks back on some things at the closing of his life. Let me show you three things this morning and I'll be done. Number one, I'll say this. Jacob looks back and remembers the God of fellowship. The God of fellowship. Look what the Bible said in verse number 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk. He's dealing with fellowship there. He remembers the God of fellowship. I thought about this. Man, I enjoy fellowship in him. And one of the things that over the past year that has just tore me up is not being able to fellowship like we once did. I love to talk to people, and I love just to sit around and as the old timers would say, just shoot the bull. I enjoy doing that, and I really do. But it seems that over the past year, that fellowship has been broken, son. But you know what? I'm glad to report to you today that in the midst of maybe some of our fellowship being broken, that the fellowship with my Father has not been broken. The fellowship with God, our Heavenly Father, has not been broken. And here's what Jacob says as he comes down to the end of his life and he's talking to his grandboys. I can kindly imagine now maybe he's on his deathbed here. He's on the side of his bed. Matter of fact, the last three acts of Jacob's life, that's where he's at. He's on his bed, and maybe he comes down to those last days, and he's sitting here on the side of his bed, and maybe he gets up and begins to bless his two grandsons. And now we know not everything that is said is recorded in the Word of God, but maybe Jacob looks at him and he says, hey boys, just let me tell you just a minute about the Father. Father that I fellowship with on a daily basis. Let me just tell you about God and how good God is and how wonderful it is to talk with our Heavenly Father. You know, I enjoy talking with my dad. I love my dad. He's one of my best friends, and we talk on a daily basis. Matter of fact, I've already talked to Mom this morning, called him this morning, and talked to him this morning. I really do, man. I enjoy talking to my earthly father. I enjoy talking to my earthly mother. I enjoy talking to my friends. I've got some that I talk to practically every day of my life. Brother David Edwards is a good friend of mine. And please pray for Brother David. He's been really, really sick. And I talked to him last night, and he's not doing much good. But I enjoy talking to people. But there's nobody that I'd rather talk to. I enjoy spending time with my wife and my children. But there's just something about talking to our Heavenly Father this morning. There's times that you're riding up the road, and while riding up the road, I'll just talk to the Lord. Brother Milton Taylor is one of my heroes. Yeah. You know, Brother Taylor says, some of the best conversations I have with God is set behind the steering wheel going up the road. The other day, Olivia and I was busting some wood. And if you heat with wood, you've got to cut wood and you've got to bust wood. And some people says that wood will heat you twice. I say it heats you a whole lot more than that. It heats you when you cut it. It heats you when you bust it. It heats you when you load it. It heats you when you unload it. It heats you when you load it in the water stove. And it heats you in the house too. But we was busting wood the other day. And Brother Dakota, I was down on my knees rolling those pieces of wood around. You know what I found out? Boy, that's a real good time just to talk to God. Jacob, at the closing of his life, he reminds his grandsons about fellowship with the Father. The God of fellowship today. I'm glad his line's never been busy. I'm glad anytime I've called him or talked to him, he didn't say, hey, I don't have time. I'm glad that God is always there and he's always got time for us. It's the God of fellowship today. Not only do I see that he talks about the God of fellowship, but note again in your Bible what he said. God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. He deals with the God of fellowship, but watch this. He now deals with the God of faithfulness. The God of faithfulness. What did he say? He said, the God that fed me all the days of my life. He said, all of my life long, God has taken care of me. You know what we may say today? Well, no, I'm going to go home and I'm going to eat some green beans that I growed in my garden and I can, and I'm the one that got them. Well, who give you the strength to plant the seed? Who give the rain to fall out of the sky to water the seed to make the seed grow? Who give you the strength and kept the bugs off of the green beans so you could go pick them? Who give you the strength to break and string those beans and can them? It all goes back to God this morning. And Jacob said, in the closing of my life, I'm not only going to remember the fellowship of God, I'm going to remember the faithfulness of God. God has been faithful today. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. Matter of fact, he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He's the one that's omnipresent. That simply means he's everywhere at the same time. And God has always been there for us today. The God of faithfulness today. God has never let me down. God has never let me down. You know what? I've let him down a lot. I sure have. I've missed the mark many times in my life. I've done things I wish I hadn't have done them. But you know what? God's always been faithful to me. In the 11 o'clock service, I'm going to preach, if the Lord doesn't change my mind, out of 2 Samuel 11 and 2 Samuel 12. And David was a man after God's own heart. David loved the Lord. Matter of fact, David has that he was a man after God's own heart said about him. And no other person in the history of the world has had that said about them but David. But you know what David done? David messed up in a bad, bad way. David committed that sin with Bathsheba, and then David murdered her husband and tried to cover that sin up. And Nathan comes to him in chapter number 12 and says, thou art the man. And David ends up repenting of that. And when you go to Psalms 51, he confesses that before God. And then he says this, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And you know what happened in David's life? God restored the joy of his salvation. We know that Bathsheba becomes with child from that and ends up losing the child. But you know what happens after that? She becomes with child again from David, and they have a child, and his name is Solomon, the smartest one that ever lived. God still blessed David's life, even though he had messed up. Once David returned to God and asked for forgiveness, God forgave him for it. And can I say this to you today? He is a faithful God to us today. We can count on him. I thought about this. You know some people that they'll say, well, I'll do this and I'll do that, but then they never do nothing. They never do nothing. I was talking to Craig Golden this week, and I remember the night that Brother Craig got saved. And that morning, me and John Dorsey had went and found Craig, and man, he had been coming to church a little bit, and I began to talk to him. And Craig told me, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I'm not saved. I've never asked the Lord into my heart." And we were sitting in Hardy's parking lot in Mount Airy, right there at Toast. And I said, "Well, Brother Craig," I didn't say Brother Craig then. And I said, "Craig," I said, "you need to get saved. I said, you need to trust the Lord as your Savior." And I said, "Why don't you just do that right now?" Craig said, "No." He said, "But I'll tell you what I'll do." He said, "I'll be at church tonight." And I said, "All right then." I said, "I'm going to look for you." And we pulled off. And old Dorsey looked at me and he said, "You think he'll come to church tonight?" I said, "If nothing happens, I promise you he'll be at church tonight." He said, "Well, why do you say that?" I said, "Because when Craig Golden tells you something, you can take it to the bank. He's going to do it. He's faithful to what he says." And you know what happened that night? He come in, he sat down right back there. We give the invitation. I'll never forget, man, he made his way to the altar and got saved by the grace of God that night. Can I say something? God's the same way. If he says he's going to do it, he is faithful to that today. We can trust the Lord today. We can trust God today. Man will let us down. I was talking to one of our preachers just right before I walked in here. That's the reason I was a little bit later getting in here than I normally am. And he's going through some things in his church right now. And I can't call his name because we're live feeding, but he's going through some things at his church. And I talked to him late last night. And this morning I talked to him again, and his wife talked to Miss Leslie a little while, and I told him, I said, "I'm glad that I can report to you that God will take care of you, and God will." Hey, Jacob, at the closing of his life, he said that God had been faithful. Man will let us down, but God will never let us down. There was the God of fellowship. There was the God of faithfulness. But then I give you this in closing this morning. Look what he said. He said, "And the angel which redeemed me from evil." He deals with the God of fellowship, the God of faithfulness, but he also deals with the God of forgiveness. This is the angel Jacob met whenever you studied out, when he wrestled with him at Peniel. It was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Anytime you talk about redemption, you're going to have to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a representative. This angel right here that redeemed him is a representative of what Jesus done for us through the blood of Calvary. You remember that Old Testament and how they would have to go to the tabernacle and they would have to make that sacrifice. That blood would have to be shed once a year in that Old Testament dispensation. But because of Calvary today, Jesus came here to earth and he bled and he suffered and he died. Why? So you and I could live. That's the reason that he done that. He became our sacrifice on Calvary that day. He that knew no sin became sin. Why? So that we could be made the righteousness of God through him. We now have access to the throne of God. Why? Because of the forgiveness of God. He deals with redemption. He said, "The angel which redeemed me from all evil." I don't know about you today, but I'm glad that there is a God of forgiveness today. There is a God of forgiveness today. Now, you say, "Well, preacher, I'm trying my best to do good and to do right and to help people." Well, I try my best to do the same thing also. I try my best to do the same thing also. I don't know how many times during the month a pager goes off in the middle of the night, Brother Aaron, and I get up out of the bed in the middle of the night. I don't know how many times I've left the breakfast table table or the lunch table or the dinner table to go help somebody in my community. I'm not complaining about that. I enjoy doing that. I really do. I love helping people. But can I say something to you today? None of that will ever get me to heaven. The reason I'm going to heaven today is because there was a day in my life that I realized I was lost. And I realized there was a God that wanted to fellowship with me and a God that would be faithful to me. And that day I asked Him to forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart and save me. And that day I experienced the God of forgiveness. He was there for me and He forgave me that day. I'm glad that He not only forgave me that day, but I'm glad that He continually forgives me. He continually forgives me. I think about what He said in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is faithful. Amen. The God of faithfulness right there. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When I miss the mark, and I do on a regular basis, you know what? I'm glad that I can go to God and God will forgive me. I can ask Him for forgiveness. You know, sometimes, and this very rarely happens, but sometimes I may be a little bit short with my wife. It don't happen very much, maybe once or twice in 22 years of marriage, but I might be a little bit short with her. And Brother Dakota, you know what I can do? I can go to her and I can say, hey, I'm sorry. And it's hard for us men to say that sometimes. But anyway, I can say, I'm sorry. And you know what she'll do? She'll say, all right, I forgive you. But you know what? You can tell that she's struggling with that forgiveness, Brother Greg, because of the way that she acts. And I say, well, what's wrong with you? Why are you acting like that? What's wrong? Ain't nothing wrong with me. Well, there is. You know what? I'm glad that when I go to God, God's not like that. And I'm glad that there's times that she comes to me and you know, I'm the same way every once in a while. But I'm glad that when we go to God and we ask God for forgiveness, I sure am glad this morning we've got a God that'll forgive us and a God that is faithful to us and a God that wants to fellowship with us. Let me tell you something. David ended up, Madeline, come start playing softly if you will. David ended up at the closing of his life, but after he had messed up, David ended up talking to the Lord and he said, Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know what he was saying? He's saying, God, I want that fellowship back. God, I want that fellowship back. And I'm glad this morning there's a God that will forgive us and restore that fellowship back. Restore that fellowship. When I think about that word restore, I years ago when I was growing up, my dad loved to mess with old tractors. And he got in a kick where he loved to mess with the old Ferguson 20s and the Ferguson 30s. I don't know how many that Dad redone when I was growing up and would trade around on them and sell them. Matter of fact, not long ago, he bought a massive Ferguson 135 a couple years ago from Charlie Hull and redone it and restored it and traded around on it. Man, it looked like it's brand new when he got done. But I remember one in particular. There was a guy named Brother Gary Smith that went to Turner's Creek. And he told Daddy, he said, I got an old Ferguson 30 at the house. And Daddy said, well, I want to buy it. And I think Daddy gave him $600 for that old tractor is what he gave for it years ago. And we had an old Mitsubishi Mighty Max two-wheel drive truck. And we drove over there and got over there. And of course, it wouldn't start. So Daddy got on the tractor and Gary got in the truck and they hooked a chain to it and took off up a road with it and got it started. You know, the battery was dead in it and everything. And Daddy put it back in high gear and let the clutch out. And I remember I was a boy, I thought, man, that's just the grandest thing in the world. I didn't know you could do anything like that. That old tractor, we pulled it out of a briar thicket. I'm telling you, we pulled it out of a briar thicket that day, and it looked awful. I mean, it looked awful. And I told Daddy, I said, what in the world do you want with that thing? And he said, we're going to make it look like a new one. He said, we're going to restore it back to the way it was. And I said, well, this is going to be interesting. It's one of the first ones he done. I was probably just 10, 11, 12 years old. I'll never forget, he began working on it. He took the wheels off of it, the tires off of it, and they sandblasted the wheels and sandblasted the whole tractor and rewired it all. It was 6 volt, and they converted it over to 12 volt. Man, when it was all said and done, you wouldn't even have known it was the same tractor. It was that Ferguson gray like they was back then. He had put new emblems on it. And man, I'm telling you, it looked like it was brand new. Let me tell you what happened. It just got restored. Everything that it was from the beginning was still there. It just needed the attention to be brought back to where it was at. And can I say something? In our life, there's times that we mess up. There's times that we miss the mark. There's times that we fail God. But aren't you glad that there is a God that will restore us back to what He would have us to be and what He is molding us to be? There's a God today, and that God is a God of fellowship, of faithfulness, and a God of forgiveness today.